Hare Krishna. Today is the last words spoken by the Vishnu Dudas to the Jamadudas. And another well-known verse in which the Vishnu Dudas conclude their glorification of the chanting of the Lord's holy name by saying, whether someone voluntarily takes strong medicine or is forced to take it. In either case, the result is the same. The medicine will act. If one takes medicine knowing of its presence and its potencies or not, still it will act. And of course, the example there is children don't like to take medicine, so the parents have to entice them to do so, and so they may either put the medicine in some kind of sweet and then trick them into taking the medicine, or just sometimes you have to forcibly give someone medicine or medical treatment. But in either case, the medicine acts. So, same thing with the chanting of the holy name. Whether one knows of the potency of the holy name, whether it chants voluntarily, whether it's tricked into it or forced into it, the potency of the holy name is there. Some portion of the class who dedicated to this concept of what does it mean to actually force someone to chant Hare Krishna. Obviously, you cannot force anyone, physical force, and they'll certainly get spiritual benefit, but it's highly doubtful whether they'll continue to chant later on. And that instruction or lesson is there for parents, that Srila Prabhupada didn't want that the children should feel that they're forced to chant Hare Krishna, but that they're encouraged to chant Hare Krishna. And yet, Prabhupada uses this word force in other places as well, that when devotional service is forcibly administered, or the chanting of the holy name is forcibly administered. And force really means is that we voluntarily accept to force ourselves. Nature of our conditioning is such that we are inclined towards many sinful activities. We're inclined to eat forbidden things, do forbidden things, say forbidden things, engage in illicit activities, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex. These are things that we have a taste for. These are things that we like to do because it's things that, we've been brought up with. We've been conditioned to these things. We've been brainwashed to these things. And our mind and senses has gotten an attraction to the lower taste that these things offer. So, but still, Krishna consciousness means that we have to, in order for us to advance in spiritual life, you have to give up these sinful activities. So how does one give them up? One has to force oneself. So ultimately, force means that you force yourself, and that is what the Vaidhi Bhakti is. We follow the rules and regulations, even though my tongue would want to take this smoked cigarette or some kind of intoxicant, but still I don't give in to the urges of my mind, belly, and senses, but rather I resist them, and instead I force my tongue to take Krishna Prasadam, to chant Hare Krishna. That type of force is there. And then what will happen if one does that? Well, that's what this verse is about. If someone chants Hare Krishna, if one forces oneself, well, I have difficulty in chanting 16 rounds, my mind wanders, I'd rather be doing something else. Of course, there's unlimited arguments and excuses, but nonetheless, I get up early in the morning and I do it anyway, even though it's not something that I really have a taste for. But the holy name will act in any case. The holy name has its potency and it will purify the heart. And what is the effect of purification of the heart? Those things that really obstruct our higher taste. Those things that obstruct our higher taste in devotional service. They become eradicated and our spontaneous attachment naturally awakens. You know, sometimes the way to say, oh, I don't want to be forced into doing things, we should just do devotional service as it comes to us spontaneously. But that's not a very good argument, because one's not talking about really spontaneous devotion, which comes as a result of purification of the heart, but one's talking about some kind of forced spontaneity, which is, again, another type of force. Only now I'm forcing myself to be spontaneous rather than forcing myself to be regulated. But that's no spontaneity at all. It's just an illusion. It's just a self-delusion. So, and the same thing for children. We want to give children that type of education, that type of taste of Krishna consciousness, so that when they become self-sufficient, when they're independent of their parents, or when they grow up and start to question why they're doing things and what it is that they're doing, that they also recognize that they shouldn't just give in to their whims like children like to do. Well, we're just going to play, or we're just going to eat chocolate, but rather they know that there's a higher taste to be gotten, by, not by self-indulgence, but by self-regulation, and they've learned how to quote-unquote force themselves, and then that's children's education. Then it has worked. The other point that we also brought up is Agyana Dattva Agyana. That was yesterday's verse. That, all right, so someone doesn't know what the potency of the holy name is, and that was Srila Prabhupada's purport. He talks about when he first came to Krishna consciousness, none of his students really knew anything about chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna conscious culture. There were no books, there was just Srila Prabhupada himself. And yet they became purified, and the chanting worked. But as we become purified, and as the chanting works, then we acquire further realization, further knowledge. We know more and more about Krishna consciousness. So then the holy name doesn't work in the same way. In other words, someone who's doesn't know anything, less is expected of them, just like less is expected of a child. But as one becomes learned in the science of devotion, in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, then he's expected to actually change. He's expected to adopt the rules and regulations that come along with the chanting. In the beginning, any old way will do, but later on, it has to be very much according to the process laid out by the acharyas. Not just the chanting, but one's own conduct, our behavior, our lifestyle, the way we eat, all of these things, because knowledge brings with it responsibility. As one becomes more knowledgeable, then more is expected of them. It's all right for a little child to just play. No one expects a little child to be working. But as someone grows old and he gets knowledge and he's educated, then he's expected to be not only maintaining himself, but maintaining his family, paying taxes, and so on. He's no longer just, life isn't just a game. Life isn't just about playing. Life is also about responsibility and work. So that's something which, unfortunately, is not always visible in devotees' conduct. The devotees don't recognize that the respond, knowledge that they have acquired, the training that they've acquired, carries with it a responsibility. And if we ignore that knowledge and responsibility, then the benefit of the chanting will then decrease. One will not get the same benefit. The type of chanting that worked when one was in ignorance is not the same type of chanting that will work when one is in knowledge. And that then is called committing offenses to the holy name, which blocks one's progress and makes progress extremely slow. And practically, we see that as Krishna consciousness movement spreads, and even though devotees become aware and have more facilities than the devotees in earlier days, in the very earliest days when the only books were there were the three volumes of Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada brought with him from India. There was no recordings, there were no other books, there were no magazines, there was nothing. There was just Srila Prabhupada's person. Now there's so many facilities, now there's so many books, not just Srila Prabhupada's books, others' books, there's so much association, so many temples, so many deities, so many opportunities. And Krishna consciousness is spreading, but at the same time, it's not just necessarily spreading along the lines that Srila Prabhupada had taught us. Sometimes it seems like, pardon the expression, a bit of a zoo into what personal motivations, bad habits, and so on, due to the original teachings that Srila Prabhupada had given us and what he really expected us to accept as the paradigm of pure devotional service that would take us back home, back to Godhead. So, doing as Srila Prabhupada had taught us to do, if we're very faithful to that process, then the chanting of the holy names will give maximum benefit and will advance like no one's business. And really have the opportunity of going back home, back to Godhead in this life by the unlimited power of the holy name. If we do things, chanting and other devotional activities in the way that Srila Prabhupada taught us. Hare Krishna.